Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. A very poignant moment yesterday in the capital of Jerusalem. Israeli Air Force and German Luftwaffe aircraft performed a flyby over the Knesset in Jerusalem. And this was the very first time that German aircraft have flown over Jerusalem, apparently since World War One. And this flyby, first of all, was part of an exercise that's going on, an Air Force exercise currently underway, involving not only the German Air Force, but also a number of others, including the UK and including the USA and Greece, and a number of other countries that are involved in an Air Force exercise that's going on at the moment. But it's also quite poignant in terms of the fact that it's a continuation, according to the announcement that was that accompanied this flyby yesterday, that this was a continuation of a flypast that took place last year in Germany. And on that occasion, Israeli Air Force aircraft flew over the Dachau camp, concentration camp, just outside of I wanted to say Berlin, but it's not Berlin. It's actually also past the Munich. Sorry, outside of Munich, and also took place out flew over the location where Israeli Olympic athletes were murdered during the Olympic Games in Munich, the Fürstenfeldbruck Airfield, where 11 Israeli Olympic athletes were murdered. And the flyby yesterday was led by the Israeli Air Force Major General Amikam Norkin, of course, the head of the Israeli Air Force. He apparently was at the controls of one of those aircraft, and alongside him, his German counterpart, Lieutenant General Ingo Gerhards. They both first visited Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, had the opportunity to visit there and say a few words, and then went on to fly these aircraft over the Knesset and over the city of Jerusalem towards the Malcha Mall, which is also where the Teddy Stadium is located alongside. I think quite a poignant moment. And then the other countries joined in, a blue flag, a flypast, which, as I say, included the UK, Italy, France, Germany, Greece, India, and of course the USA, alongside the Israeli Air Force and the German Air Force. And the plane that the commander of the German Luftwaffe flew had not only the German flag on it, but also the Israeli flag. So quite a moment yesterday over Jerusalem.
Incredible. Just, you know, we seem to be having more and more of these moments where we say, can you imagine X number of years ago this ever happening? But yet they're happening.
They are happening, and I think it goes, it goes to show that there is an increasingly close bond that's being developed, not only between Germany and Israel. We spoke about the visit of Angela Merkel not so long ago, and now, you know, the two air forces cooperating with each other, which, by the way, is not for the first time. This is an exercise that's been going on already quite regularly for some time. And in fact, Amikam Norkim did say that these exercises are really helping at a strategic level, he said, to strengthen diplomatic relations between the participating countries, and also to allow the Israeli Air Force and Israeli pilots to have an opportunity to see how other air forces operate, teaches us to be more effective in our communication, not only amongst ourselves, but with foreign pilots and crews as well. And dare I stick my head up, stick my neck out a little bit and just say, I'm sure that they're learning a few things from us too.
I have no doubt. Absolutely no doubt, but really just incredible. Today is the 26th anniversary of the assassination of a former Prime Minister, Yitzhak Rabin. How will the day be marked in Israel?
So there will be a number of events. Already the events started yesterday. There was an event that was held in Tel Aviv to try to encourage people to talk amongst themselves, to communicate a little bit better, rather than to use assassination as a tool for communication. And I think that this is really what lies behind many of these events that are taking place. Discussion groups, some 1,000 youth from 50 pre-military programs led a ceremony yesterday morning. This was the second straight year under the title Debate as Brothers. This is all about encouraging people to talk, to communicate, to debate, to find a good way to express disagreements rather than to resort to violence, which of course is, I think, the message that we derive from that unfortunate, most tragic event that took place 26 years ago. I remember it very, very well. We now have an entire generation, or maybe two generations, of people who have been born in not only in Israel, but elsewhere, who were born after this tragic event. And the question is, can we still continue to learn from this? Can we continue to take those tragic events and turn them into something good? Interesting that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett himself said that he was in the army at the time that this tragedy took place, and that it caused him to put his kippah back on his head. That was Prime Minister Naftali Bennett who said that. And it's fascinating that it caused many other people to do exactly the opposite because of the fact that the assassin was someone who came from the religious Zionist community, and it caused a lot of people to think about whether they would wish to be associated with that community that has the ability to raise up a person who would go about expressing himself in this way, causing such a tragedy, not only to the community, to the individual, to the Rabin family, but of course to the wider state of Israel at the time. And yet Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said that it caused him to put his kippah back on his head. So obviously he'd been through a time when he wasn't wearing a kippah, and that caused his kippah to return onto his head, as he put it. But, you know, the question is, can we still learn from those events? Is there still a lesson that we need to be thinking about? We had an incident just last week when the head of the opposition now, former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, attended an event to bid farewell to the outgoing head of the Shin Bet. We spoke about the fact that we now have a new head of the Shin Bet, and there was a ceremony to mark the changeover of the head. And it is stated in the press that the head of the opposition, Bibi Netanyahu, made no attempt to acknowledge the presence of the Prime Minister at that particular event. He effectively snubbed him at that event. Now, a personal snub is one thing, difference in political opinions is another thing, but it gets to an entirely different level when you disrespect the office of Prime Minister. It doesn't matter who is the Prime Minister. He is democratically elected by the State of Israel, and he is carrying out a certain job in this country, and he deserves, I think, a certain respect as holder of the office. You may not like him in person, you may have a personal axe to grind, all of that may well be fully legitimate. But when he holds that office, I think there is a certain responsibility to respect the office, and therefore to respect the person who's holding the office. And this incident, the snub that the head of the opposition, Netanyahu, dished out last week to the holder of the office of Prime Minister, has occupied quite a lot of press coverage, taken a lot of people by surprise, and said, the time has come for us to really learn the lessons of the Rabin assassination and to respect our government and to give credence and a little bit further support to our democratic institutions.
It's, yeah, he just never, he isn't stopping to behave poorly. It's just quite remarkable.
Unfortunately, that's the case, but I think it really comes together today when we commemorate the 26th anniversary of that assassination, that we really need to reinforce.
And which is all about division, isn't it? I mean, isn't this the symbol of what happens when we don't respect each other?
Exactly. So I think, you know, that's why I'm sort of linking the two events together today, because I think they are relevant. I think it does link together. And I think time has come for us to behave differently and to reinforce our belief in our democracy, no matter who is democratically elected to individual positions.
Absolutely. The Israel stands accused of murdering a former security prisoner in Syria. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a very, very interesting story that came out over the weekend when Israel apparently, according to the reports that we read, was active in the area of southern Syria, and in particular targeted an individual who, it was claimed that he has been targeted, an individual who was formerly a security prisoner, spent many years in an Israeli prison, and then was released. This I'm talking about Midhat Saleh, who was 54 years old. He spent 12 years in an Israeli prison until 1998. He was then released, and he went on to become a member of the Syrian parliament until 2005. And then he was appointed by Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to be to hold the portfolio of Golan Heights, to effectively be the head of the area of the Golan Heights on the Syrian side of the border. And we understand over the weekend that he was in the area of Majdal Shams, which is a town that really straddles the border between Syria and Israel. He was apparently there. He was under the area controlled by Syria, and intelligence reports have shown up until quite recently that Hezbollah has been entrenching its position more and more in that particular area with the help of the regime from Damascus, but also most crucially with aid from Iran, which of course is very much active in supporting Hezbollah. And now we understand that Midhat Saleh has been, was killed either by an airstrike or by a drone strike. Some people are even suggesting that a sniper fired at him from the Israeli side of the border. I'm not really quite sure what to make of this particular story, because I'm not sure why he would be targeted specifically. I mean, we know that he has a certain history. He spent some time in Israeli prison. There is no doubt that Israeli security services would know a thing or two about him, what he's up to at the moment, where he's been up until now. And there's been no suggestion that there would be a reason to assassinate him. He holds this position, and I'm guessing that opportunities have arisen. But I think we're still probably going to hear a little bit more about the story, if he was indeed assassinated, as to why there might have been an interest to do so.